Hi everyone, my name is Andra Stanoyo and you're listening to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio and podcast. COVID, economic and social instability have pushed many of us to develop varied levels of anxiety. An estimated 4% of the global population currently experience an anxiety disorder. In 2019, 301 million people in the world had an anxiety disorder, making anxiety disorders the most common of all mental disorders. Today, my guest is Dr. Belinder Walia, psychotherapist and author of Fix Me, How to Manage Anxiety and Take Control Over Your Life. She's going to tell us more about anxiety, what triggers anxiety, and how can we live fulfilling lives with anxiety or eliminating anxiety. Hi, Belinder. Welcome back to the Healthy Debate Show.
Hello, Andra. How are you? It's great to reconnect. It's always a pleasure to speak to you.
Well, I'm very well, thank you. And I'm even better since I read the book, Fix Me. I've always struggled with anxiety, and I think I've always wanted some advice in terms of how I can manage my daily routine better, or how can I manage events that can lead to high levels of anxiety. So thank you very much for putting the book together. I think it's great. So congratulations for that. And I'm very curious to understand a bit more about what was behind Fix Me. You know, what inspired you to write this book? Because you know, anxiety is, as I mentioned in the introduction, is quite a common disorder. It has been approached by different authors. You know, there are different self-books there on the market. But I think your book is a bit different. So I want to understand the inspiration behind it.
Oh, thank you for asking the question. I mean, the inspiration behind writing Fix Me and How to Manage Anxiety and Take Control of Your Life stemmed from my own personal journey with anxiety. Like yourself, Andrea, I've struggled for many years feeling overwhelmed and powerless. But through my own research, therapy and self-discovery, I found effective strategies and techniques that helped not only me manage anxiety but regain that control. But I wanted to share these insights, these tools with others who may be facing similar challenges. And I wanted to offer hope and guidance and practical solutions. So whatever I learned for myself to navigate my own anxiety journey, I wanted to give that power back to others. And also, working as a psychotherapist, I've helped so many individuals overcome or get through and manage that anxiety so they can feel peace, they can feel that fulfillment and build that resilience.
Absolutely. And I think the best combination is when you're specialized and you studied, let's say in this case, anxiety, but you also have some personal experience, because that also adds to the value of the book. You're not just talking and writing as a specialist, but you also have your personal experiences and you understand this from a personal filter rather than through an academic filter. And I think this is what makes your book different. It has quite a few points of personal reference, and it makes the read almost like a private experience. I think that made the difference for me when going through your book. So let's go back to these key concepts and the key strategies that you discuss in the book. Give us a bit of an overview on these ones.
Yes, of course. Well, Fix Me is a transformative guide that empowers individuals to overcome challenges and unlock their true potential. And by exploring exploration of their own self-awareness and their mindset shifts and goal setting and action planning, readers are equipped with practical strategies to navigate them through these obstacles and build that resilience and embrace their personal growth. You see, with those real life examples I give in the book, and the exercises and the actionable tips that I give, this book provides a roadmap for people to acquire growth mindset and overcome self-doubt and step out of their comfort zones. That's the key thing, the key concept, to come actually step out of your comfort zone. And ultimately, this leads to fulfilling your life and empowering you. And the thing is, Andrea, I think what people have to realize is that there really isn't a magic wand that's going to transform your life without you learning the tricks to do so. So you've got to put a little effort in to get something out. And that means all those key concepts within the book that are discussed, those strategies, you've got to implement them.
Belinda, how did you research and gather information to create a comprehensive guide on managing anxiety?
I'm glad you've asked that, because I find that our mind is full of research. We have so many life experiences, and because of my mind being full of this research and having those case examples, having my own healing journey as well. I know we're healing all the time. I think my mind continues to look for and gather that information. We all do. We all want to gather information and knowledge, don't we? So I took the initiative to conduct my own independent studies and research further outside of my own experiences, and this allowed me to delve deep into the topic and gather valuable insights that are tailored to the needs of my target audience. And additionally, I had the privilege of including those case examples from real people that I've worked with who have successfully overcome anxiety. So you see, Andrea, when we draw inspiration from our own journeys and the journeys of other people, we can then showcase them effectively. And I wanted to showcase them in this book and give those strategies that I proposed in the book. So I'm grateful that I got a lot of support from not only my clients and people that I've worked with, but people in my private circle. Everyone was really helpful in helping me write the book. And people like Lisa Nichols, who's a motivational speaker, an international motivational speaker. Her books have been a tremendous source of inspiration. And I'm so lucky she wrote my foreword. And I drew upon the wisdom and expertise of individuals like Dr. Joe Vitale, Dr. Stephen Poges, and Scott Burrows, who's got the experience through his life experiences. Sadly, he had an accident. He wrote a book about actually grasping your grit and going forward in life and visualization. All this information came from the research I had done in person, physically, and building my insights and knowledge and having that guidance in the field of anxiety management. And the contributions have been amazing. They've been phenomenal, which has enriched the contents of my book, which now people can use as a guide to help them with practical solutions.
So was there any part of the research that you found quite difficult?
I wouldn't say no, there wasn't any part of the research that was difficult, because I think I understood a lot about my own anxiety, and I think that's really important. It's the internet, everything around us is so accessible. So I was very fortunate. I didn't find the research difficult at all.
So let's go back to anxiety. And I'm very interested in finding out about the misconceptions that you've uncovered in your interviews and in your research. What are some of the most common ones, and you know, what are some barriers that we need to break and we need to change the way we look at perception, anxiety, sorry.
I think the main one, and I mentioned this in my book, I think some will like what I've got to say, to be frank, and some won't, but I think the common misconception about anxiety that is simply a result, that people believe that anxiety is simply a result of weakness or a lack of willpower. I believe that many people mistakenly believe that those who suffer with anxiety can just snap out of it or get over it, and or they don't try hard enough. I mean, I used to have comments, people commenting towards my anxiety. And even when back in the day, when I was going for my IVF treatment, sometimes I would have panic attacks and people would think that I was making it up. So that was quite extraordinary that people have that misconception. And I emphasize that anxiety in the book. I say that it is complex, a complex condition, that it involves a combination of factors, including genetic, environmental, and neurological influences. And it's crucial to understand that anxiety is not a choice or a character flaw, because I felt people used to judge me like it was a character flaw within me. When I did have those panic attacks. But I think what a lot of people don't realize, it's a legitimate condition that requires empathy, it requires support and appropriate treatment. And in my book, again, I aim to debunk this misconception and promote greater understanding and compassion towards individuals experiencing anxiety. But that means for the individual experiencing the anxiety to recognize why it is present as well, that they've got to recognize it within themselves. And I emphasize in the book that it's important to be very much self-aware and understand your personal triggers. It means managing, so you can manage that anxiety effectively. Going back to when I used to have those panic attacks, I didn't really know the onset of them, and I had to understand myself well enough to know what was triggering me. And I really do want to empower individuals, whoever reads this book, with the knowledge and strategies to. So I hope that can help them navigate the anxiety and understand what their triggers are. And hopefully, more than anything, that people, say, for example, someone who doesn't suffer from anxiety, but they want to understand a person they know who does suffer from anxiety, this book will help them navigate that, and they will hopefully understand and be more supportive towards those who do.
You said something that made me quite curious about the reason for people not believing that this is a serious condition, or not believing that anxiety is something that you can just make it go away and then it's lack of willpower. So what do you think is behind this belief that, you know, it's quite something that it's almost non-existent?
Unfortunately, I think the reason behind it, and this is because a lot of people don't understand where it stems from. Mm-hmm. They don't understand the diagnosis of it. And it's important to remember that mental health conditions, including anxiety, although they are real, the diagnosis for it is, it can stem from anywhere. And that's where the lack of awareness or understanding about the mental health condition can contribute to those misconceptions about and there's that stigma. And some people may have not personally experienced it, so they can't relate to it themselves. And we know that any mental health, especially conditions like anxiety or emotional traumas, most of the time is an invisible condition unless it's physically displayed, like the panic attacks or social anxiety, agoraphobia or phobias and OCD. But most of the time it's an invisible condition, and the skepticism or disbelief from others may not fully, people might not fully grasp that somebody is having those internal struggles.
Yeah, I think that that's quite a good point, because, you know, even with mental health issues, some are more visible than others, isn't it? And I guess it also depends on the level of anxiety, and it does manifest quite differently, you know, from a somatic and like a body perspective to different people. So I think you do make a good point. If you haven't experienced it yourself, or you have lived with someone that's going through serious struggles, including adaptation problems, right? So you can't adapt to a specific schedule, for example. You can't go out because you have anxiety, social anxiety, or some factual evidence that this is a serious problem. I think it makes it a bit more difficult for others to understand this. Look, I'm thinking about specifically in the workplace, right? Yeah. If you have someone who hasn't experienced this at all, and there you have an employee, for example, who's struggling to come to work or take the underground because of high levels of anxiety, it's a bit hard to kind of understand that and translate this into, all right, this is a real problem. How do we approach this? But I think generally the world has changed quite a bit, isn't it, after COVID, and mental health has been on many companies' agenda and the government's agenda a bit more than before.
Definitely. But sadly, as you know, the stigma is still there, because a lot of people don't want that used against them, do they? Especially in the working environment.
Yes, and you are.
Sorry.
No, you go ahead, Belinda. You're the guest.
I was going to say, although I like to believe that a lot of leaders, as you say, do put this on the agenda and are very much aware of it, but it all depends on personality as well, doesn't it? And sometimes people have this perception that if I say that I have anxiety, they're still afraid of that stigma and that label, aren't they?
Yeah, of course. This is a longer conversation, where I think this is the purpose of this type of discussions that we have today, to encourage people to come forward. And, you know, if they're not ready to come forward, then to seek some professional support that sometimes can come in the form of a book, sometimes can come in the form of a podcast, sometimes it can come in the form of, you know, having one-to-one support. So it's just about finding what works for you and getting the knowledge in, so you can operate from a knowledge perspective rather than just on the assumption that it's kind of a lost cause to even try to attempt to control anxiety. Belinda, let's take a short commercial break. We'll come back, and I would really like to discuss some of the practical aspects that you mentioned in the book. So we'll be back with Dr. Belinda Walia to discuss anxiety and how to manage anxiety more specifically and take control of your life.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. We've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink. Perfect at home or on the go. Revive Active. available at selected Holland & Barrett stores, Well pharmacies, and online at Amazon and reviveactive.com. Super supplements for a super you.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living, a people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world, and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.Health, reconnecting people and plants.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
We're back with Dr. Belinder Walia. We're discussing how to manage anxiety and take control of our lives. Belinder has recently published her book, Fix Me, and is here today to talk to us about some of the information that she presents in the book, but also to give us an insight into more personal and practical aspects. So Belinder, can you share with us some of the personal experience or anecdotes that influence your understanding of anxiety and its management?
Yeah, sure. I mean, there's a number of examples in my book, and but the one that really sticks out, and still I feel quite anxious about it because somebody brought it up in my Facebook group, but the one that I really struggled with was losing my beloved Newfoundland dog, Chico. And that was about 6 months ago. And it deeply impacted my understanding of anxiety and its management, because in my chapter, the chapter that I have to refer to my book sometimes to get reference to, but it was in chapter 6 that I talk about pet and pet owners' anxiety. And the thing was, although I dedicated this chapter to pet and pet owners' anxiety through this personal experience, I realized there's such a profound grief and the anxiety that can accompany the loss of a cherished pet, or the build-up to losing that pet, is phenomenal, no matter what age they are. And somebody in my Facebook group brought up premature death, where you're not actually prepared for that, and the loss and the anxiety is so profound. And I totally could relate. You see, when Chico was getting tired, he was aging, the anxiety of losing him, and knowing that he hasn't got long, it was devastating. He was exhausted, and I was growing more exhausted with the anxiety. And in chapter 5, I discuss grief and how to cope, and the importance of acknowledging and validating the emotions, such as grief. And here I offer strategies for managing the anxiety that arises from such a loss. But you see, again, if we go into the concept of how we manage grief, it's very individually based, isn't it? One approach might work for some people, and then it might not work for others. And in both chapter 5 and chapter 6, I talk about the different approaches where a person can explore creating a, say, for example, in my case, I created a meaningful tribute to honor the memory of Chico, and people can do that for their pets, and as well as seeking support from others who have experienced a similar loss. And this lady in the Facebook group, she turned to me to seek that support of losing her dog. And by sharing my own journey and insights, I was totally able to relate and provide that hope and provide that comfort and provide that guidance and to the readers. And I go on to explain that, you know, there's the strategies, sorry, you'll hear the turning of pages, because I'm actually turning the pages off the book to use it as a reference. And in the book, on page 54, I talk about how to settle that grief and how to actually manage that intense anxiety that people know they have. And I go on to explain how to overcome guilt and allow others to help you, because a lot of people don't want that support. But sadly, grief is something that we all go through, and how it's important to talk to a professional, avoid as much as you can the medication side, and maintain a routine, eat healthy, try and stick to a routine that you've always had. For me, I try to continue walking every morning, because I used to walk with Chico, but yeah, I continue to walk every morning. And be prepared for certain occasions. I'm so much better, but when I was relating to certain people in the group, they were sharing images of their pets, and it didn't trigger me so much, but I was very much aware of the sadness I felt and the missing him. I mean, I had him for 12 years, and that's a long time, you know. And
definitely it is. And I think it's interesting you're mentioning grief and anxiety in the same statement, because anxiety does very often come with depression symptoms, with grief, with trauma in general. And I think many times people that don't have pets, for example, do underestimate the power that losing a pet can have. It's like a family member. Sometimes it's more than that. It's a lifetime companion. And I think you mentioned, you know, you're much better now. Anxiety, from my perspective, also transforms with time, maybe with age, with experiences, and it might be felt in the same way, but maybe the triggers are changing as we evolve, as we understand more about how to manage it. So definitely it's a process, and it looks like you're on the right on the right track. So Belinda, in terms of practical techniques or exercises, I know that your book mentions quite a few of them. Can you just give us a couple of them that will make the difference for someone who's listening in today?
I think in the book, readers will find a range of quick fixes at the beginning of the book, and the Fix Me tools in each chapter that offer accessible strategies to manage anxiety. One of my favorite techniques I discuss is the grounding technique, which helps people reconnect with the present moment and their senses. And I suppose, again, because I use it so often when I'm going for those morning walks, the technique involves identifying 5 things you see, 4 things you can touch, 3 things that you can hear, 2 things that you can smell, 1 thing that you can taste. And by engaging in the senses, this technique helps shift that focus away from the anxious thoughts and brings attention to the immediate environment, which promotes a sense of calm and grounding. And As I mentioned previously, because I have been very much aware that I got quite anxious about the loss of my dog. And when I was going for those morning walks, this is what I was practicing, and it seems to work. But obviously, there's lots of practical tools that the readers can expect to find in the book, and each designed to provide a quick relief and empower people to manage their anxiety effectively. So there's a list of practical techniques. There's also progressive muscle relaxation, where if you're in a relaxed position, you can focus on your toes, your feet, the muscles in your calves, your legs, your thighs, and then just work your way up. There's the visualization and guided imagery. So when you're in, again, a relaxed state, imagining what you would want an outcome to be, this gratitude practice. I've spoken so often about journaling and just being grateful for everything that's around you presently. There's journaling, just generally writing what you feel, that always helps. Self-talk, which is amazing. So there's so many in the book that will be helpful.
One of the challenges that people that suffer from anxiety have is to take these advices, these practical tips, and use them in the moment. I certainly had struggles in, you know, despite knowing what to do. The level of anxiety was so high, and the level of confusion in my mind was so high that it felt overwhelming even to consider some of them. So how do we separate them, these tips, these practical aspects in our, in these practical tips in about tackling anxiety when we are in the moment? Do we go with just one? Do we start simple? What's an additional thought that will make a difference to start controlling it in the moment, to start implementing the techniques in real life situations?
That's a brilliant question. Thank you, Andrea. I think, for example, let's just take an example of a technique, the self-talk technique, for instance. I think it's important aspect of managing anxiety, because we're always hearing all these worrying thoughts in our mind, and that's the first thing that you do hear is your own words that might be negative or may make you spiral into that anxiety further. So I think self-talk is an important aspect of managing anxiety, and it can be so powerful, such a powerful tool in challenging negative thoughts and reducing anxiety levels. Although I said everything takes practice, and you've got to know what method works for you. But if you're consciously monitoring and adjusting your internal dialogue, you can replace that self-defeating or anxious thought with more positive and realistic ones. So by engaging in positive self-talk or switching words, it involves recognizing and challenging those negative beliefs and reframing them in a more balanced and constructive manner. And when you offer yourself words of encouragement and support, that's always soothing, and you have that self-soothing technique, and you practice that self-talk technique. For example, you might practice it with affirmations that you're familiar with, or cognitive restructuring, where individuals can develop a more compassionate and empowering inner dialogue. This can help alleviate anxiety and promote a sense of calm and self-confidence. And really, I think you've got to just do what works for you. So if you've got the tools there, and you've read the book, then instantly you will think, well, I remember reading that, or I remember recalling that I need to, and being very consciously aware of those thoughts that are happening in that moment. But when you are reflecting, you're able to rationalize those thoughts and then ground yourself to be able to implement the techniques that you might recall or be consciously aware of the words that are being spoken in your mind. I hope that's answered the question.
It does. And I think you made a really good point when you said that you really need to find what works for you. And, you know, the battle with anxiety is, it's exactly that. It's a battle. It's not going to go necessarily immediately. You might have a period that's more difficult in your life and you can have anxiety for a short period, but usually it does take quite a few years of someone's life to maybe be free of anxiety or maybe have full control of how to manage that. But I think it's a journey of self-discovery. And whilst you were listing the skills, the tips and the practical aspects that people can do when they're in an anxiety episode, I was thinking about the power of prayer. You know, it does work. Yes. For many people, because it's something that it's almost, you know, greater than you in the moment. You can focus on something that's positive. Also things like, you know, listening to a podcast or maybe watching a video of someone that's, you know, bringing you comfort. You know, you might want to watch a video of old memories, like family memories, or as you said, there's so many resources there on the internet. It's just a matter of understanding what type of stimulation do you need. You know, do you need a visual stimulation? Do you need a tactile? Sometimes, you know, holding a pillow very close to your chest, that might be quite comforting, or just going under a warm blanket, that might be quite comforting for someone else. Yeah. So there is a variety of options. It's just a matter of allowing yourself time to be patient and to understand your anxiety.
And I think it's really important that you mention patience, because that's the other thing. People aren't very patient with themselves, are they?
No, absolutely. And we are, I don't want to generalize, but I'm living in a world that's quite a fast pace. And I am very often, as an individual, seeking quick solutions to everything, right? We want to click and we want a whole world to open in front of our internet search. We want to take a pill and make it go away, you know, whatever the pain is. Yes. We want to check into an airport with just a click. We want things so fast. And unfortunately, I think anxiety puts your life into different perspective and forces you to zoom in and be patient. And humbles you. I do think anxiety humbles you quite a lot, because this is when you're first experiencing, you see that it's almost out of your control, and to put it back into your control, which we're so used to control, isn't it? We used to control everything, the settings on the TV, settings on the phone, what feed do we get on social media platforms, or we're so obsessed with control these days, isn't it?
That's true. We are.
Yeah. And I think, you know, a lot of the times that also causes anxiety. Having always the need to be in control and being used to have control, suddenly you find yourself in a different environment where anxiety, it's all about losing the control and starting to getting it back differently. But I do think it's a patience issue. So I got a bit personal here, because I have a firsthand experience with anxiety, and I know how difficult it is for people to even listen to what we're talking here, because that itself can be quite triggering. Belinda, let's take another short break and we'll be back getting ready to close the show. I know we didn't even go through half of the things we wanted, so I might need to ask you to come back another time to continue the conversation, but we'll be back to talk about anxiety with Dr. Belinda Walia shortly.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Stop suffering with pet-related allergies when near dogs and cats. Great news, you can feel safe around pets with Nasal Guard for pet lovers. Nasal Guard Topical Gel blocks pet dander, hair, and dust mites from entering your nasal passages. Try Nasal Guard for pet lovers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about Nasal Guard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, ant and deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle Magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And we're back with Dr. Belinger Walia. We're discussing how to tackle anxiety, how to approach anxiety. We spoke about some common misconceptions, some practical techniques. And as we're getting close to the end of our conversation, I just want to understand from your perspective how important it is for individuals to seek professional help as soon as possible alongside self-help strategies when they're dealing with anxiety.
I think seeking professional help alongside self-help strategies is crucial when dealing with intense or anything that is quite intensely impacting your life. Any mental illness that is impacting your life and stopping you from moving forward. While self-help techniques can be beneficial, a qualified mental health professional brings expertise. You can always have that support of that self-help, but if you know it's changing the way you practice your life every day, it's changing the patterns of behavior, it's changing your relationships with other people and the relationship you have with yourself, then of course it's important to get an accurate diagnosis and have specific treatment for the severity of that anxiety and develop a more tailored treatment plan so someone can monitor your progress, address underlying issues, and provide crisis management when needed. Combining professional help with self-help strategies offers a comprehensive and effective approach, doesn't it, to managing that anxiety and ensuring individuals receive necessary support and guidance. It's important that they understand that they need that support. If they're not changing anything with the self-help strategies that are already in place, then they need to turn to someone who can help them improve that mental well-being.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, if there's anyone that has been in any way triggered or affected by this conversation, or has realized that they need to ask for professional support, you know, the first contact point can be your general practitioner, so your GP here in the UK, or your family doctor, as it is referred to in the wild world. And that's a starting point. But equally, if anyone that's listening is interested in reading your book, Belinda, and finding more about how it is to work with you, because I know you have a great portfolio of customers and you're always trying to do your very best to support your customers in your clients in every possible way. I would like them to get in touch with you. I would like them to put their hands on your book or download it and read it so they can get the confidence they need to tackle anxiety. So where can they do this? How can they find you on social media?
The wonderful thing is what you were saying earlier, it's a click of a button. So you can find me on the internet, LinkedIn, all social media platforms. And my website is www.serenelifestyles.com. The book can be found on Amazon and W.H. Smith's, Waterstones. It's gone international, so that's a wonderful thing. And you can find it anywhere, really. And if you want to get in touch with me directly, again, either my website or on Instagram or LinkedIn, there's my email address and my telephone number and contact form.
And your website, isn't it? Serene Lifestyles.
Yes, that's right. Serene Lifestyles.
Belinda, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today. I believe we will have to have another conversation to continue discussing about other aspects that we didn't get a chance today to discuss, like self-reflection, self-awareness, any other important information that's mentioned in your book and we didn't get a chance to look into. I wish you all the best with your book release, and I hope you reach as many hearts as possible, and hearts and minds, isn't it? Because anxiety is very much about mind over heart. So I wish you all the best, and thank you very much for coming on today.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Until next time, may we hear only good things.